Good evening, Seattle, Washington. Good evening, Little Saigon. Good evening to all the slave people in Washington State Territory being overseen by the Splinktus Lord, first emperor of the Gumptus, the last colon king, and also known as the Cosmic Anal Hemorrhoids, Governor Inslee. It is November the 16th, 2020, right around 5:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm with my good friend, Jim. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. What's up, Jim?
Sailing.
Oh, boy. That's good news. How you doing?
I am under a ceiling, so I must be doing okay.
Okay. Well, to start things off, I have an idea I want to talk to you about. It's a business opportunity.
Excellent. You talk.
Well, good. So you know what a chariot is? Like a chariot?
Like chariots of fire?
Or like a chariot being pulled by fucking horses?
Well, I don't know if the horses can actually do that while they're fucking, but okay. I know what a chariot is, brother.
Do you know what a wagon...
Do
you know what a wagon is? Like a wagon, like in the olden cowboy days, you'd have a wagon being pulled by horses?
I have ridden in a wagon, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, do you know what a carriage is? Like fancy pants people like you in the 1890s drinking your fucking drinks and laughing at poor people as you threw bricks at them? You know what a carriage is?
She'll be driving 6 white horses when she comes, Dan. Yes,
oh,
I know.
Boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. So here's the idea. I want to revolutionize ground transportation. I want to revolutionize personal security. I want to create a 100% eco-positive, eco-friendly, eco-whatever bullshit business. And here's the idea. We start selling carriages, but wait for it. They're pulled by ligers, half lion, half tigers, okay? The basic package is 4. But you can go up to 20. You can go up to 20 ligers. Can you imagine having a carriage being pulled down the city street by 20 500-pound ligers, Jim?
I can imagine this, Dan. Yes, I can. Okay. And you know what the best part of it is that they used to have a thing called a 20-mule team. So we could get a 20-mule team pulling one wagon and a 20-liger team pulling another wagon, and we could have them collide.
For the ligers, that just sounds like lunch.
Right. Well, you gotta feed them, right? So you might as well make it into a pay-per-view.
Well, I'm thinking that if I had a chariot pulled by 20 ligers, that would be the perfect thing to bring to a Black Lives Matter protest. You know, especially if the chariot has size on the wheels. You know, size, S-C-Y-T-H-E-S, size on the wheels that cut and chop people up so the ligers have less work to do. Yeah, I'd love one of those chariots, man, on a commie protest day. Hey, is the chariot ready to go, you fucks? Okay, we're going to go the protest.
Perfect.
Yeah. You're not talking much, Jim. I need your help here. Go.
Ben-Hur would be very proud of you.
Yeah, well, Ben-Hur, you know, he was pulled by horses. And then he talked all really kind of like sensitive metro to the horses the night before his little races. And what I'm going to say is, man, no. I want ligers. I want them hungry. If the liger's not hungry, it's not ready. That's actually the motto for our chariots. If the liger's not hungry, you're not ready to go.
That sounds disturbed, Daniel.
That sounds great, but, you know, talk a little bit more there, Jim, because I'm out. Come on, go.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, it doesn't feel like Thursday, and it's usually Thursday when we do Crazy Band.
Actually, why don't we just talk about shit no matter what day it is? Why don't we just talk like people?
Are human beings allowed to do that?
Yeah, maybe for a few more minutes, for a few more weeks. I don't know. Kind of looks like the human race has decided to, like, participate in mutual self-loathing and suicide, but hey... Maybe. You there?
I'm here, Dan. I don't know what to say. You know, sometimes
First topic, you sent me in an email. Lighter than air projects and tech.
Why do I send you emails? understand why. Why do I keep doing that?
I don't know. First topic that you sent me, lighter than air projects and technology. Go.
Okay, well, I've been writing a business plan for some jerk out in Seattle who sends me notes, and then like I write it up as a business plan. So we got a bunch of stuff in that plan, man.
Okay.
I'm just going to read part of the business opportunity section, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
It is? It's okay? Holy crap, man.
Yeah.
All right. So the most recent version of this is Project Star Car and Hotels at 20 Miles. And one of the projects that we talked about, obviously, was the Big Eye. And let's see what we can read here. One, balloon platform launched rockets so people can reach 60 miles altitude and enjoy 8 minutes of microgravity along with an amazing view. Half the Earth's atmosphere is in the first 5,000 feet, so launching from 20 miles altitude has many benefits in reduced drag, being above the weather, and so forth. And we have two high-altitude hotels at 20 miles would give people a stunning view, a unique environment, and a taste of life on a space station. These can be early versions of hotels orbiting in space. Follow-on business would be Hoist, hotels operating in space today. Multiple balloons, item three, multiple balloons tracking one another with laser rangefinders, each carrying an optically flat mirror and providing extremely high-definition telescopic views of the moon and planets using interferometry to combine the images. We believe it possible to photograph in detail the Apollo landing sites from 20 miles altitude. Four. A high-altitude transport network for packages and for people may be developed using the technologies under discussion. Five, a high-altitude communications network. This work is currently being pursued by Avialto.com, which would be a potential strategic partner, as many of its principles are known to our co-founder, Jim David. Number six, tethered bridges at low latitudes, such as a bridge from Brazil in South America to Gabon in West Africa. The bridge would be tethered at each end and every few miles along its length and carry cars, trucks, and perhaps a railway. Maximum altitude of the bridge would be about 2,000 feet above sea level, allowing for easy transit underneath the bridge by sea service vessels. So that's those are some ideas. We've talked about ideas, Dan.
Yeah. So that was it. You just wanted to read the PDF and then move on to the next topic?
Well, I don't know, Dan. We might talk about the topics. You know, it's allowed. You're allowed.
Well, then talk. Talk. I'm listening. Talk.
You make it so easy to work with you sometimes, brother.
Well, here's the deal. Jim and I started talking about the subject of high-altitude ballooning right about the time we first met. And I have been interested in this subject for almost a decade. But recently, I've been asking some really simple questions. Like, here's a simple question. Does it make sense to launch a missile from the surface of the Earth? Because even though we're not a gas giant, we're not a 100% gas planet, but what I would call us is a fluid planet. We have lots of fluids. We obviously have the oceans, but the air itself is really a fluid. And when you get up to several hundred miles an hour, it really behaves in a way that can be quite difficult for a craft trying to launch itself into space. The other problem is this, and a lot of people may not be aware of this, but Jim is, rocket nozzles are optimized for a certain level of pressure. So rocket nozzles that are efficient at like low altitude become really inefficient at high altitude. So these were some things that I started thinking about, and Jim and I were talking, and we were thinking, you know, is there potentially a business opportunity in coming up with products that can be safely deployed to 20 miles up, which is roughly 100,000 feet. And the other question we had was this. Could it be that the real threshold for lighter than air is not 100,000 feet, but could it be as high as 200 or 300,000 feet? Could you theoretically reach orbital speed using a dirigible? It sounds crazy, but is it that crazy? And so we start talking, and the opportunity is to start a business that would be an open source business, but a business that would work with different technologies to include the interferometry cooperative telescope system. I mean, if you can imagine the planet, like the whole planet participating in a giant interferometry telescope, imagine how far into space we could look, Jim. Imagine that.
Really, really, really far.
Yeah, really far. I mean,
so far.
Would there be any optical telescope that's been created so far that would compare if we did it right?
I don't think it would be easy to make that comparison. No, I think if you do it right, it would definitely be much better than anything else on Earth, and it would be better than a lot of things that are in orbit. Because orbital telescopes are limited by the payload capacity of the launch vehicles that put them up there. And those launch vehicles don't usually have as much oomph as you might want. I use oomph as a deeply specific and, violently engineering term.
Well, it's a well-known term in rocketry. Like, isn't it like 10,000 newtons of force per oomph?
I think it's something like that, yeah. I think it's quite close. I think you've nearly nailed it, brother. Very nearly. You've nearly nailed it.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. You're a nearly nailer.
Well, thank you. But I mean, what are your thoughts beyond that on this whole thing?
Well, I really think that a lot of opportunity has been lost because people have been, and let's just be really candid here because it's just the two of us and, you know, we have hardly any listeners, right?
Right.
There's just been an extraordinarily large high level of Nazi in the whole space activity thing. You know, the United States is doing things the way it does things because the Nazis did things that way. And that's not necessarily, you know, the best approach. Because the Nazis, well, they sucked at a lot of stuff. Milk of human kindness, for example, they aren't really known for that part.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't have much more to say beyond I think it's an opportunity. I would say in general that if we want to get to space, we should be able to prove it at 20 miles. And if we can't do it at 20 miles, I don't see how we can do it anywhere. And I would also go further that the basic mechanics of how this would work could potentially allow for basically cities to be built at that altitude. Eventually, people could build cities, and they would be cities that would be radically different in many ways, but and I would also say potentially some of the least impactful in terms of the ecology of the Earth, but the most positive cities ever built. But again, you know, who knows? It's hard to say what people are willing to do and what time there is to do things. You want to go on the next topic?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to reiterate what you've said a little bit because I think that there is a lot of potential for rafting some of these craft and putting them together into, you know, larger and larger cooperative spaces, and eventually you could have, enough lift capacity for thousands and thousands of people to live together in a city. And it would be, you know, it would be completely different from the way things are now. I mean, a city at 20 miles altitude is just a very, very different place than any city Americans have previously visited.
Well, and I would also add this, that there's potentially some business cases for actual cities on the ground that suffer from an effect, and it's a real effect called the heat island effect. And heat island effect simply means that the way we currently, you know, build up cities, they absorb a lot of heat in the summertime, but they're not really good at releasing it efficiently. So in theory, every city could have a second city, although I know there's a comedy troupe, let's not make fun, but every city could have a second city on a tether, and that city could operate as an on-demand sort of cloud system. So yeah, there's a lot of ways in which this could be synergistic with ground communities, and that's just one example. This potentially solves a lot of problems. If cities had these, then why would we really need the internet? Because given the relative distribution of cities at this point, if you had a bunch of these things at 20 miles, that would be your new internet. That would be your new communications network. You would not need all of the old networks on the ground. So there's a lot of benefits to this.
Well, sure, and you're also pointing to one of the oxen that gets gored, and one of the reasons things don't happen is because somebody's ox gets gored, and you know, their vested economic interest is in preventing it from happening.
I agree, and I also, you know, kind of believe on a certain level that this represents an authentic strategy for surviving what is coming. Like there's going to be some difficult times ahead, and I don't want to scare people. It's not about scaring people. It's about putting your head in the right place. But I think there's some real tough times ahead, and this potentially represents a way for people to survive it, as crazy as it sounds. Go up 20 miles. Now you could say, well, Dan, could government shoot you down? Well, of course they could. But you know what, guys? Governments can blow up your cabin in the woods too. And you know what? 20 miles, as Jim could point out, there are things you can do just using good old-fashioned first semester physics that can really fuck up governments on the other hand as well. So I'm not really sure they'd want to pick that fight, Jim. You know?
Well, if you're dropping something like a crowbar or a much longer crowbar from 20 miles altitude, yeah, it will get their attention, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if these people actually are able to think past their own greed. But yeah, no, I'm actually quite shocked to hear you say that they can come find my suburban home in the woods. That's shocking, Dan.
Yeah.
How would they do that?
But you know, I do think it's fair to say that whatever future we have in space, we should consider this as a logical step. And I would even go further. We're going to encounter a lot of planets in space that are some variety of gas planet or gas giant. And life on the ground on those planets will be impossible in most cases. But that doesn't mean life in the clouds would be impossible. I mean, if you look at Jupiter today, probably even life in the clouds would be brutalizing. But the point is, Venus is a better example. You couldn't live on the surface of Venus, but could you live in the cloud systems of Venus? That's a good question. I don't know the answer, Jim. But
I think actually recently they say they have discovered life in the clouds around Venus.
Right. So you could live 100 miles maybe, or 50 miles above the surface of Venus in the cloud system in a dirigible. You could do that. And I think that as we go through the universe, it's as likely as not that we're going to encounter thick atmosphere planets. And I think this is a good strategy for dealing with thick atmosphere planets. On the other hand, when you're talking about a place like Mars, dirigibles are almost more interesting. Because with respect to Mars, you could go to Mars, you could deorbit, and your spaceship could simply float around Mars. You could do that. In fact, the basic atmosphere of Mars at near the surface would be roughly equivalent, in fact thicker than the atmosphere at 100,000 feet, I think. You know, roughly. I'm not trying to draw loose comparisons. But the point is, a dirigible makes sense in both environments. It gives you flexibility. Like, who wants to land if you can avoid landing, Jim? Who wants to do the Nazi Wernher von Braun, we're going to build a fucking insect ship and land? Why wouldn't you just want to float above the surface?
Well, and then you wouldn't have to have anybody wearing a red shirt on an away mission. And I think that's important because those guys always get killed, right? I mean, you don't want to be that guy. You don't.
You can see more. Yeah, if you design your spacecraft to be convertible to dirigibles, you can see more of the planet. If we go to Mars with a system that can convert to a dirigible, we'll see more of the planet on those missions than simply going someplace and parking, you know. So anyways, I don't know if I want to spend more time on this. I'm kind of in a shitty mood, as Jim well knows, but it's up to you, Jim, if you want to add anything else to the topic of what we can do at 20 miles up.
I think we've beaten this horse sufficiently. I don't know.
Okay, so the next topic you wanted to discuss had to do with the election, and in the podcast world, you can't see my sarcastic quotes, but the election and the shenanigans around that. What do you want to say first about that, Jim?
Well, I just find it fascinating how little violence there has been so far, as I was expecting a lot more violence by this point in time, and, you know, in fairness, I did say that after the election, you know, election result is announced, that was when I expected the most violence. And unless I, you know, badly, you know, misunderstand reality, which has happened, we don't actually know what the result of the election is. Well, do you feel like you know the result of the election?
Jim, I don't know... the result of any election I participate in or didn't participate in since I was 18 years old. Okay, I have no idea who won. I don't know who lost. I don't even believe it works. So if you were to ask me who won the election, I would say, number one, the Federal Reserve. Number two, probably the State of Israel. They are the number one and number two winners of the election. And I would say in tie with one and two is Satan. Satan won the election also, but I don't think anybody who we would love or care about won the quote-unquote demonic ritual we call the election. That's where I'm coming from.
Right, and I would have to agree with that, with the possible exception of Satan. I don't know. That guy doesn't ever seem like he wins anything. He seems like a loser.
Oh, I feel like we're in episode 5 right now. And even though there might be an episode 6, there probably is. Episode 5 is where the Empire's winning, okay? And I think we're in episode 5, not 6. I think that's where we're at.
So you're throwing an Empire Strikes Back kind of vibe on this one.
I saw that back in February, where the crazy-ass films of Chinese soldiers walking up and down the streets of Wuhan, which would look like giant chemical blasters poisoning people and marching in synchronicity as they poison people. I could hear the Empire Strikes Back theme back then. So yeah, I think we've been in Empire Strikes Back pretty much since February. That's where we're at. Yeah, it's funny, but the next stage, I have a friend of mine who just let me know that, I don't want to give away too much information, but he lives in a major American city. And he just let me know, and he's someone I've met in person, so he's a verified person, that he knows of an arena, like a soccer arena type place in his city that's being set up 1980s, Central America, Latin America, we're going to disappear a bunch of people style. That's right now. So it's funny until people start disappearing. And in fact, I think people are already disappearing, Jim, so I don't think it is funny. But, you know, ordinary, good, decent Americans will start to see their neighbors go away, and they'll never see their neighbors come home. That's coming. That's the election.
Well, that's kind of grim, Dan. I'm sorry that's happening.
Well,
why are the American people allowing this to happen?
I don't know, man. Are you on planet what the fuck? What do you see in your part of the world? Do you see a lot of decent, normal people fighting for their dignity? Or do you see people shoving Glumbus cubes down their throats? What do you see?
Well, there's been a lot of Glumbus cubes and throat shoveling down here.
Yeah.
But
you see anybody rising up, you know, with the banner to fight for freedom and in any type of army or unit doing anything? Do you see any of that? No. In fact, you said it yourself. You expected violence, and there is no violence. Why isn't there, Jim? Why is there no violence? What is the explanation?
Nobody is fighting back.
That is a circular, okay? You're saying there's no violence because no one's fighting. I'm saying, why is no one fighting?
I'm not sure, Dan, but I think because they don't think they can win, or they don't know which way to point their guns. They don't know who to fight.
Well, although I would contend that in 1775 or 76, a lot of the Americans fighting in the Revolutionary War weren't quite sure where to point their guns, but they still fucking fought. They still stood up. In fact, they were kind of incompetent at first, if we're being honest, at fighting, 18th century warfare. They were at first. But they still fought, Jim. They still fought, So it's a question. See, I'm left with very few possibilities. And one of them is that the election, the voting, the monkey herpes, the race war, the impeachment from a year ago, all the secret revelations of dark truths, which are probably true revelations. None of this was accidental. All of this was on purpose to fuck with people. And why would they fuck with billions of people worldwide for a year? The only explanation I have is they're hiding something. That's it. And it's a lot worse than anything we can imagine, because, man, have they been dumping shit on us. They've been, so that's where I'm at with the election and everything else. And also, I'll add this. I wrote an essay for a blog that no longer exists because nobody read it, called Going to the Crawl Space 5 years ago. And it had to do with a memory of a dog we had when I was a kid. It got injured on a road. It was dying. And so it went underneath the house to die because it wanted, my friend explained, dogs like to do that. They like to go die alone. And I have this question. Is it possible that people sense on some level that something truly horrible is coming, and that's why they're not fighting back? I don't know, Jim.
Well, I don't know how to... I don't quite know how to respond, because I can't really argue against your point. You're making a valid point, and I'm not sure... I'm not sure what to do about it.
What I told people in 2015 is survive the big flush. What I would tell people today is survive the big flush. A giant flush is coming. That's a simple, stupid way of putting it. But a big flush is coming. And it will not respect order or rank, which means that what's coming will not have anything to do with how rich you are, or how powerful you are, or how beautiful you are, or even how smart you are. What is coming will be indifferent to all of those things. That's what I would say. But you're quiet. You still there?
Well, I'm quiet because I don't really know what the fuck to say, man. I don't disagree with any of your points, but... what does one say to the end of the world?
It's not the end of the world. Okay, dude? Listen, if you believe in the bullshit that you're taught in college about every geologic epoch that's existed in the 4 or 5 billion years of the planet Earth, there have been many times when species and entire ecosystems have been destroyed. It is a common story. And it is a basic story of human life that we all die. And sometimes we die and we're surrounded by children and grandchildren, and we die in the coziness of a nice home someplace. And sometimes in the history of people, we die bloody and alone. And that's reality. And in good times, people can die bloody and alone. And in bad times, people can die surrounded by loved ones. And that is also true. So, end of the world, I don't quite get. The only end of the world that I expect would be the end times. And so, I'm not quite there yet to say that these are the end times. I would say that what we're facing is probably a significant period of incredible turmoil. And that is a nice way of putting it. Really, really nice.
So we're going to have incredible turmoil and still be able to have, like, barbecues and invite our friends over, or is it not going to be that nice?
I don't know, dude, because it will depend upon where you live. It'll depend upon the conditions of your environment. It'll depend upon how willing people are to solve problems versus create new ones. And given that the election reminds me that modern Americans love voting for more problems, yeah, I'm not, my optimism about a lot of people doesn't have to do with the end of the world, Jim. My lack of optimism has to do with the logical end of the reasoning of the average American. Okay? If someone says to me, Dan, I'm going to go play Russian roulette with my friends, I'm not going to say to them, well, that sounds wise. So we have a problem with the basic reasoning of a lot of Americans at this point, Jim, and that reasoning will kill them.
Well, I will agree with that. Yeah, I think that reasoning or lack of reasoning.
You just broke up.
Oh, sorry. I was saying that I agree with what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I find myself talking and ranting a lot. If you have more you want to say, I'd love to hear it. On the election, on Biden, on Trump, on Q. Go ahead. Anything you want to talk about related to the political bullshit, that's the topic right now.
Well, what about Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen? Come on.
Yeah, that's canceled. Christmas is canceled. Thanksgiving is canceled. Love is canceled. Friendship is canceled. Hugs are canceled. Shaking hands is canceled. That's canceled, Jim.
Well, I don't like this. This is a bad game. Can we play a different game?
Yeah, you see, the thing is, though, if my parents were alive, if my dad was alive today, I really don't think he'd put up with this shit. I think he put up with a lot of shit. You made a good point on one of our phone calls about how he probably accepted the JFK assassination, yada, yada, yada. But I just don't believe he would put up with this shit. This bullshit, this level of deception. I cannot believe that there are people like him that would put up with it. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he would also put on his mask and put up with this shit and slowly marched into the abattoir. I don't know. I am shocked. I am shocked by how pathetic a lot of Americans are behaving.
Yeah, me too. It's actually not only shocking, it's rather, I would say, disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I thought you guys had some moral fiber.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't show up on the news, it doesn't show up anywhere. Where is the moral fiber of America? Maybe we need to have, like, fiber supplements or something.
I don't know, dude. Where was the moral fiber of the ancient nation of Israel before it was offered up to the Assyrians and the Persians and the Babylonians? I think they lost the fiber, and then they were destroyed. I think they lost their principles. And then after losing their principles, they were destroyed. And I even think God said something to that effect in the Old Testament, that this is what will happen. These are the outcomes. These are the consequences. You know, you can read the Bible or you can read Ayn Rand, but the fact is consequences are real. We're looking at consequences right now. That's what we're looking at.
Sure. No, I agree. And you can look at what Ayn Rand said about that, which is that you don't have to believe in the consequences, but you can't avoid believing in the outcome, because it will come to you. The outcomes are going to show up. Nothing you can do about it.
Next topic, you want to talk about Freedom Land. Go ahead.
I am ready to talk about Freedom Land every day and twice on Sunday.
Great.
Is it Sunday?
Great.
No, crap. It's Monday already. Yeah. See, this is throwing me off my game, brother. I'm just not used to it being Monday. I'm used to belly aching at you on a Sunday.
Yeah, and it's funny because I said that if you want a podcast with me, you need to give me, you know, a day or two's notice. and the schedule.
I broke the rules.
Oh, wow. And the rules were so hard, though. And we're talking about why Americans are fucking up right now.
I'm dealing with the consequences of my own choices. Fuck.
Go, Jim. Talk about your belly aching.
Okay. So, we have two domain names now. At the beginning of September, we started Free Edom Land. I didn't realize I typed an extra E, so my friend who does domain registrations just copied and pasted that shit.
Oh.
And it thought that I'm the proud owner of Free Edom Land. PAO.com.
The Edomites don't... I don't think I like the Edomites, so...
Well, the fucking Reds, man. That's what Edom means. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Well, nobody likes the Reds anymore. I mean, commies... Terrible.
Yeah, I think there's more to the Edomite story in the Old Testament than just the color red.
Fine. There's Esau and Jacob and this and that.
Yeah. You want to free the Edomites. Okay.
I didn't say I wanted to free the Edomites. I just said that I happen to now have possession of a domain name called Free Edom Land.
Free Edom Land.
And then I also, once I realized how stupid I was and work that out and then ask my domain registrar to help me do something about this terrible, terrible error I've made. Then he helpfully registered Freedomland DAO. So that's now registered. Woo, done. We did a thing with a place and stuff. So that's good, and it's good to have, it's good to have a domain name, and then I've got a guy who's said he's going to help me work on the thing where you have the website. I think they call it a website.
Yeah, they do.
But they do a lot of things, so I don't know if we should. I don't know if we should allow them to be put up with. I mean, should we take this crap from anybody really?
I don't know, Jim. Can you stay on topic? Even when it's one of your own?
No. No. But you know this about me, so, fuck you very much.
Any other news? Any other news with Freedom Land? Other than the website?
Not at the moment, but, am I keeping you from an activity? It sounds like you're,
No, dude, I'm just in a really shitty place, and I told you about this, and I love you. You're my friend, and I love you. And I'm in a terribly crappy fucking place, and that's also true.
I know all of these things.
Good.
You have told me. You explained it to me at the top of the call.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with that. I'm just trying to, touch base with the listeners a tiny bit in case they're all confused. Why is he being this way? What's wrong? What did Jim do? Jim's a terrible fucker. It must be Jim's fault.
Oh no, no one thinks that except for the little voices in your head, Jim.
Yeah, but they think a lot. They spend a lot of time on that topic. They're like, wow, Jim, you are such a fucking liar and such a fucker.
Well, I mean, come on. What else do you want to say about Freedom Land? Is there anything else? You've got the websites going, but other than that.
So I have been working very diligently on getting the land part of Freedom Land. And I have a landowner in Texas who has 640 acres available to us. I have a landowner in Belize who has one parcel, which is about 50 acres, and the other about 80. I have a landowner in, three landowners in Canada, one in Ontario, one in Quebec, and one in Saskatchewan that I've been talking to. And then I have a bunch of landowners in other states like Montana, Colorado, Mississippi. I know a person with some land in Georgia, and I've been talking to some other guys about Kentucky and West Virginia and Missouri. So there's a bunch of things going on, but I am going middle of this coming week to an activity. I don't think it's an event. I think it's an activity because, when people say event, they generally are speaking about something that, has a discrete time it starts at a particular time and it ends at a particular time, and this isn't like that. So I'm saying activity, and if people don't like that word, then, you know, screw them.
We know what you mean, baby. We know what you're talking about, baby, with an activity. They do that in Pioneer Square, man. $60, $80 if you want your friend to watch.
I am learning about the environment I live in. I did not know this about Pioneer Square.
Live in Seattle, so how would you know about Pioneer Square? You don't live here.
I don't know. A friend of mine might tell me if he told me anything.
Oh my God! I'll tell you what. Seattle is just—it's just a peach. It's a Georgia peach. It's a big, sweet, beautiful, tasty peach filled with maggots.
Wow, that's very disturbing.
Yeah, Seattle's very disturbing. So, can we recap the mission statement of Freedomland DAO? Can you recap that for us?
Well, the idea is to buy some land and find a way to allow people to lease the land for long-term freedom, to be, you know, free.
You're breaking up, man.
Okay, sorry.
So the purpose of this is to get land available for lease.
Right, and in a way that is creates a structure for people to live near one another and stay free rather than, you know, get killed by the bombs.
Okay. Well, I like that idea. I like the idea. I think that Freedomland DAO should explore a community 20 miles up because that might be the best place to avoid the mobs. But you know what? I also think terrestrial realms are good too. It's good to be on. It's good to have your feet on the ground. Last topic. Well, oh, go ahead.
The other thing about that is that I am writing a business plan with some fucker, some guy who's interested in the 20 miles up city concept. So I'm not ignoring that and only preferring this other path.
I know.
Fine. So stop guilting me.
Jake. I'm not guilting you. It's just, you know, come on, Jim. Come on. Okay, so the last topic is a group gathers in Oklahoma.
Right, so that is the group that's gathering for the activity, and it's going to be in that state, somewhere in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay, so is that it? Because that sounds a lot like a line from the movie Red Dawn, a chair is against the door. You don't have to say more, it's okay, but is that it? Or?
Well, I was thinking it's more like a line from that that Golden Earring song,
It's 2 a.m.?
It's 2 a.m.
Twilight Zone? The Twilight Zone song?
That's that song, yeah.
The Bullet to the Dawn?
Yeah. Somewhere the arm.
Okay. Okay. So before we close out... you're breaking up, Jim.
There's a song on the loose, a siren in his head. Yeah, wrapped up in, I don't know, douchebags or something.
Okay. So, is there anything else you want to talk about before we close out tonight?
Maybe, but I can't think of it.
Okay.
Do I have to do all the thinking in this activity?
No, it's just that as part of the podcast thing, I just asked that people come up with a list of topics, and this was the last item on your list, the activity in Oklahoma.
Right, which is about this Freedomland stuff, and I will know more about it when I'm done with it.
Cool. Well, I don't have anything to talk about that I really want to talk about at this moment, and so if you don't have anything to talk about, we can close it out.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
Let me just think if I have anything to talk about.
All right.
Oh, right, Alex Trebek is dead. That's the thing we could talk about. Is that an okay thing to talk? Can we talk
about what?
Alex Trebek.
I don't have any interest in talking about that piece of shit. No.
But he's dead.
That's great. I don't have any interest in talking about celebrities who are dead or alive. They are some of the least important people to me right now.
Okay. So, all right. So, well, then we definitely covered the topic of the death of a dead person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people have been murdered this year, and they weren't famous, so nobody gave a shit.
Well, I care.
Yeah, I know, but you, yeah. So, let's.
Oh right, I forgot. I keep forgetting. I am nobody. Shit.
Oh boy.
I hate it when that happens. Darn. Drat, and also rats, and also, you know, fuck.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I guess we're done. I don't know. I feel like we're ripping off our listenership.
Well, I don't think we're ripping off anyone. If we don't have anything useful to talk about, we're wasting their time. And the only things on my mind right now are really quite fucking terrible. And every time I talk about them, there's a silence for like 30 seconds on the other side. So, yeah. I have no topics we can talk about. Do you have anything additionally you want to talk about?
No, Dan, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. So, Jim, I really appreciate your time tonight. And let me know if you want a podcast again. Send me the lists and whatnot. And to all the listeners out there, really appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your Monday.